This is a special report from American Freedom News. Here's the founder and president of American Freedom News, Rick Wiles.
America, under attack. Blood in the streets of the USA. This is America Tonight, September 11th, 2001. I'm Rick Wiles. This is a special edition of American Freedom News. We're broadcasting live tonight worldwide on WWCR World Band Shortwave Radio, bringing you the latest information that we have concerning the bloody attacks that were launched upon the United States of America today, an act of war. Not just a terrorist attack. What happened today was an act of war against the United States of America, against the people of this land. This is going to be a somewhat different program tonight. And my prayers go out, first of all, before we say anything else tonight, my prayers go out to the families of the victims today in the numerous attacks in our nation, in New York City, in Washington, at the Pentagon. None of us at the present time have an accurate number of how many casualties, how many of our fellow citizens died today, how many people perished in a heartbeat and met their maker today. It's an incredible day, a day unlike anything I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. And with all respect to the brave Americans who served in World War II, I would have to say that what happened today was even more horrific than the attack on Pearl Harbor. And there are no words to describe the horror of that day. But what has happened today in the United States of America is beyond comprehension. And so we pray tonight. We pray for the victims. We pray for their families, for their loved ones, for those who are tonight in grief, in sorrow, in shock. There are children without their parents. There are husbands without their wives. There are wives without their husbands. This is a sad day. And America will never be the same. I don't know how much of this has sunk in to your concept of reality today. But America will never be the same. Life will change. It will change permanently tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what will happen tonight. And again, I'm broadcasting live from our studio in Granbury, Texas tonight. We don't know what will happen. Is this the end of the attacks, or is this just the beginning? And nobody that I've heard today has mentioned the possibility that the planes, the aircraft that slammed into the buildings, what is the possibility that they contained anthrax or smallpox? We don't know. We don't know if there's a stage two to this jihad and a stage three. This may be the opening act to jihad in America. We could very well be on the verge of martial law tonight. And every one of us today, every single American right now tonight, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer asking God to spare us, to protect us, to guard us. We need to be praying for the President of the United States. This is not a time to be talking about politics. We need to be praying that the hand of God be upon George W. Bush, regardless of your political position. The man is in an incredible position tonight, with enormous pressure upon him. We need to be praying for George W. Bush. We need to be praying for his family, for their safety. We need to be praying for the safety of all of our leaders. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. This totally caught the nation by surprise today, so we don't know if there will be a round two tomorrow. We don't know if there will be smallpox and anthrax and other biological agents released in this country. We need to be in prayer tonight. Before you go to bed tonight, before you close your eyes, you need to be in prayer to God for the nation, for our leaders, for your family, for yourself. Because I believe, my friends, I believe that what happened today, I believe, is the opening shot of the things that I have been warning about for years that will come to this nation. So I said, things are going to change permanently. We're not going to go back to business as usual tomorrow. It cannot happen. Life will change. I want to go through a number of reports that I have gathered in the last several hours. And again, we're live. This is 8:08 p.m. Central Time here in Texas tonight as we broadcast around the world. And I gathered a number of articles. I don't want to attempt to recap everything that is going on. Most of you, I'm sure, have been either watching network television or listening to radio, and so you already know the key facts that have happened today. But I have gathered a number of things that perhaps have not been discussed today by the national news media. And if everything goes well, a little bit later in the program, we're going to open up the telephone lines for live telephone calls from our listeners. We've never done this before, but we're going to attempt to open up the phone lines in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll give you an opportunity to express your thoughts. I'm going to go through a number of headlines, as I said, that I've gathered here in the last several hours. Associated Press reporting U.S. military on highest state of alert. The U.S. Navy dispatched aircraft carriers and guided missile destroyers to New York City and Washington, D.C. after terrorist attacks. Admiral Robert Natter said from Norfolk Navy Base, the Norfolk Naval Base, quote, "We have been attacked like we haven't since Pearl Harbor." Admiral Natter is commander of the U.S. Atlantic Fleet. He sent the ships to assist with defense and medical needs. Ships include the carriers USS John F. Kennedy and the USS George Washington, which were headed to New York City. Each have a crew of up to 3,000 sailors. The JFK Air Wing has about 1,500 sailors. The U.S. Navy Comfort, a hospital ship in Baltimore Harbor, has also been made available. The Navy has also deployed amphibious ships, guided missile cruisers, and guided missile destroyers that are capable of responding to threats from the air and the sea. The amphibious ships are carrying U.S. Marines and sailors to provide security, surgical teams, and limited hospital bed capacity. Meanwhile, President Bush ordered the U.S. military to, quote, the highest alert status. Again, my friends, we are on the verge of war. For all practical purposes, the United States of America is moments away from declaring war. Never in my lifetime have I read a report of U.S. Navy ships being dispatched to U.S. cities. Washington Post reporting, authorities went on alert from coast to coast, halting all air traffic for the first time in the history of the nation, evacuating high-profile buildings, tightening security at strategic facilities. Federal and state office buildings were closed around the country. Prominent tourist attractions, Disney World, Seattle Space Needle, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, Knott's Berry's Farm in Southern California. All of these were shut down today. Evacuations were ordered at the United Nations building and at the tallest skyscrapers in Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, Cleveland, and Minneapolis. Military bases across the country are on high alert. Extra security added at the Department of Energy's Nuclear Weapons and Research Complex in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Los Alamos National Laboratory, Fort Detrick, Maryland, home of the Army's Germ Warfare Laboratory, Kennedy Space Center in Florida under enhanced security awareness. In Louisiana, state police protected petrochemical and pipeline companies. Louisiana Offshore Oil Port, which handles supertankers in the Gulf of Mexico south of New Orleans, suspended operations. In Los Angeles, police went on tactical alert and mobilized an anti-terrorist division. One step, my friends, one step from martial law tonight. London Independent reporting the terrorists who apparently hijacked four planes and attacked the World Trade Center and Pentagon could only have succeeded by using their own trained pilots in a scheme that defies all scenarios envisioned by national security officials. Gene Pulte, president of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, said, quote, they flew the planes themselves. No pilot, talking about American pilots, no pilot, even with a gun to his head, is going to fly into the World Towers. LA Times reporting tonight, attacks held to be a conspiracy. LA Times says the three airplane crashes today in the New York World Trade Center of the Pentagon apparently were the work of a well-planned and executed conspiracy with members who appear to be trained in skirting airport security, according to senior FBI officials. Most likely, the plot involves several terrorists on each airplane in the event that the hijacked pilots refuse to kill civilians on the ground. London Telegraph reporting tonight, terrorism experts said that the extraordinary attacks in the United States bore all the marks of a well-organized paramilitary group. The article says that as the two planes crashed at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, it prompted Americans to evacuate public buildings. The Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine denied an early report that it's behind the attacks. Now the question has to be asked, how could multiple aircraft be hijacked at the same time by Muslim terrorists carrying weapons? How could this happen at the same time? Well, if you've ever flown in the United States of America, all you have to do is take a look at the employees working at the airports. Try to find a red-blooded American at an airport. What you will find are Arabs and every other assortment of foreigners who can't speak English, and they're in control of the security, they're in control of the gates, they're in control of servicing the airplanes, they're in control of the luggage. Thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of foreigners working at U.S. airports. I'm sorry if this is politically incorrect. I'm sorry if some liberal out there is offended, saying he sounds like a racist. No, I'm not. I happen to be an outraged American tonight because I've been warning for years that we have opened up our nation to these radical, militant Muslims who are in this country for one purpose: to bring blood to the streets of America. And they have started today. I found this article. This goes back several years ago. Dallas Morning News, 1997. Muslims say wearing scarves led to firings at the airport security firm. This is 1997. Dallas Airport, DFW Airport, fired several Muslims because of them wearing their Muslim scarves and headdresses to the DFW Airport. As I said, if you've done any flying in the United States, you know hardly anybody working at the airport anymore than any airport in this country was born in the United States of America. They all have rubies in their foreheads or scarves on their head, or they can't speak English. And they're servicing the planes, they're running the security checkpoints. We have literally allowed the terrorists of this world to gain control of our airports, and their people can walk on board any airliner that they want to. And that's what happened today. It was an inside job. It was an inside job. This had to have help from inside each of these airports. This is impossible for such a well-coordinated, well-rehearsed plan to take place. It is absolutely impossible for this to happen without having key people inside the airports who made sure that the terrorists were allowed to board the aircraft with their weapons. This is what the liberals have brought to America. This is what the pro-immigration people have brought to America. This is what the news media has brought to America tonight. We're paying the price tonight for the ultra-liberals who have controlled this country for decades and have pushed to the back the common sense Americans who know that what's going on is wrong. Maybe we don't have the education that the liberal boys and girls have. Maybe we don't have all the college degrees, but we sure have a lot more common sense. We got enough sense to know that some guy that's wearing a towel on his head shouldn't be running the security at a major airport. But it's been allowed to happen. It's been allowed to go on for years in this country, and we are now paying the price. Now, I listened today on talk radio. I listened to talk show hosts denouncing callers, saying, we don't want to hear any anti-Muslim rhetoric on this radio station. We will not allow it. Well, there is going to be an outrage that's going to come out from the American people, because thousands of Americans died today, and I don't give a flip anymore what the liberals say. We're going to take this country back. We're going to take it back. And we're going to do what we have to do. Because I'm telling you, my friends, our lives are at stake. If you care about your own life, if you care about your wife, your sons, your daughters, if you care about them, then you better stand up today and take back the country. And you look at some of these other articles. Washington Post reporting today, air traffic controllers at Washington Dulles International Airport spotted an unidentified aircraft flying at an unusually high speed directly at the White House early this morning. Warned authorities minutes before the Boeing 757 turned tightly and circled around and then slammed into the Pentagon. One of the victims on that flight was Barbara Olson, the wife of the new U.S. Solicitor General, Mr. Theodore Olson. Barbara Olson was a former congressional investigator and an aide to Senate Minority Whip Don Nichols. She left the Dulles International Airport aboard the American Airlines Flight 77 headed to Los Angeles. Mrs. Olson managed to call her husband, U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson. She called him twice on her cell phone from the aircraft while it was being hijacked. She described the hijacking to her husband, told her husband that the hijackers had knives. Mr. Olson said, quote, she was on the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. She called from the plane while it was being hijacked. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Barbara Olson was a chief investigator for the House Government Reform Committee that investigated a number of Clinton scandals. She later became a lawyer on Senator Nichols' staff before branching out on her own. She was a major critic of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Reuters says the hijackers who used the American Airlines aircraft into who slammed the American Airlines aircraft into the Pentagon brandished knives and cardboard cutters to take over the aircraft. The information was revealed during the two telephone calls from Barbara Olson. It's believed 266 people died in four coordinated air crashes today. I have on the website tonight, our website, AmericanFreedomNews.com, I have a list of the tenants. The buildings are the tenants inside the World Trade Center. It is a who's who of American, actually global business. AIG Aviation Brokerage Insurance Company. The American Bureau of Shipping Engineers. There are law offices, the Bank of Taiwan. Just an incredible array of major corporations, California Bank and Trust, a long, long list. A number of TV stations, Channel 11, Channel 2, Channel 31, Channel 4, Channel 47, Channel 5 in New York City, Verizon, Telecommunications Company, Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, Lehman Brothers, New York Metro Transportation Council, estimated some 50,000 people working in those buildings today. U.S. stock market will remain closed tomorrow. Wall Street will be closed tomorrow. According to the report, a statement released by the New York Stock Exchange said, quote, the American Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, and the New York Stock Exchange, after consultation with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, and in light of the heinous attacks on America, have decided to remain closed through Wednesday, September 12th. Said that U.S. markets, after further consultation, will announce on Wednesday when the stock markets will reopen. Shocked investors sent European share prices sharply lower. The world stock markets today plunging as they realize that the United States of America is on the verge of war. The International Petroleum Exchange suspended trading of crude oil today. There are reports that in some American cities, gasoline prices are now $5 a gallon tonight. London Telegraph reporting tonight, world financial markets were sent into turmoil by the terrorist incidents, with shares plunging across the globe as oil and gold prices soar. The attacks took place before the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ had opened. Some economists predicted that the disaster could tip the already fragile world economy into recession. The Federal Reserve Bank was forced to issue an emergency statement today promising to inject liquidity into the American banking system. My friends, do you understand the gravity of this reports that are coming out tonight? When the Federal Reserve promises to inject liquidity into the banking system, what they're saying is that we are prepared to pump hundreds of millions of dollars in currency into the banks across the nation so that there is plenty of cash for a bank panic when people run to the banks to withdraw their money. That's what they're talking about. We don't know when the stock markets will open again. Oil prices soaring tonight. Life is changing. It is changing permanently. Will not go back to what it was. warnings that I've been giving for 3 years. These things are happening now. Things are going to pick up in speed. Events in the world are going to accelerate. We're moving at a rapid rate towards what the Bible prophesies will come together into a final battle at a place called Armageddon, in a valley called Megiddo. In Palestine tonight, the Arabs are dancing in the streets, cheering over the blood in America's streets. The Jerusalem Post reporting tonight, thousands of Palestinians celebrated today's terror attacks in the United States, chanting, "God is great," and distributed free candy to the people on the streets. Another report out tonight from the Middle East, dozens of Palestinians fired rifles into the air with joy at news of the anti-U.S. terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Palestinian guerrillas in military fatigues fired assault rifles and rocket-propelled grenades into the air today. Residents, some still wearing pajamas, interrupted afternoon rest to rush to the streets and fire their rifles into the air. Iraqi state television hailed the attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center as the, quote, operation of the century. Iraqi television saying the American cowboy is reaping the fruits of his crimes against humanity. It is a black day in the history of America, which is tasting the bitter defeat of its crimes and disregard for people's will to lead a free and decent life. Iraqi television also says the massive explosions in the centers of power in America, notably the Pentagon, are a painful slap in the face of U.S. politicians. Also tonight, there are explosions throughout Afghanistan. Associated Press reporting explosions could be heard north of the capital near the airport early Wednesday, hours after devastating terror attacks in the United States. The United States government is denying that the explosions that are taking place in Afghanistan tonight are retaliation by the U.S. government. Also, in Afghanistan, the man who represents the last bulwark of resistance against Afghanistan's Taliban regime was reported by Russian and American sources to have been assassinated by two suicide bombers. Ahmed Shah Massoud has been killed. He was, as I said, the leader of the resistance against the Taliban. The Taliban is the militant Muslim group that currently has 8 foreign aid workers on trial this week in Afghanistan. Their crimes, they've been charged with the crimes of preaching Christianity. See, my friends, this is a jihad. It is a bloody, holy war of the Muslims against what they call infidels. And an infidel to them is anybody who stands in the way of the implementation of worldwide Islamic Muslim law on all nations. And if you refuse to accept the rule of Islamic law, you are an infidel and you are a target for attack. Israel today has evacuated all of its embassies throughout the world. Telephone lines between Israel and New York have been shut down. Israeli airspace has been closed to all foreign aircraft. I've got conflicting reports regarding the Mexican border. One report saying that the border, Mexico-U.S. border closed. It says the long land border between the United States and Mexico was partially closed today. Another report from the LA Times says that the border is open. LA Times reporting tonight, traffic in the United States from Mexico slowed to a trickle. none of the 6 border crossings between California and Mexico were closed. And I'm just thinking how about a month or so ago, I reported on this program a British newspaper article talking about Islamic Muslim terrorist training bases in Mexico, using Mexico as a base of operation to penetrate the United States of America. Another one of those reports that we daily publish on this program, broadcast on this program, and put on our website. One of those reports ignored by the American news media, ignored by most of the public in this country because they're unaware of these things, because the news media doesn't report it. But we've been reporting these kinds of things for many, 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 actually years. I started reporting on the penetration of Muslims in this country the moment I went out in 1998 and left TBN, began to warn the nation about what is coming. I'm not taking any commercial breaks tonight. I'm asking my sponsors to give me that liberty tonight. This is a somber night. This is a night of mourning for America. We are on the verge of war tonight. But I do want to recognize this broadcast is made possible in part by our sponsors, Christian Telecom, Ready-Made Resources, Mount Silver Protein, MSP Research, and FTL Direct. I just want to mention those sponsors. We're not going to have regular commercial breaks tonight, but I want to recognize our sponsors for their loyal support of this newscast, and I'm sure they will understand tonight that I'm not taking a normal commercial break. This is a time of great, great tragedy in this nation. I've been recommending every day that you get in touch with these people. Now it's time to do it. I don't know why you're waiting to stockpile resources and supplies. Time's running out to do it. A report from the Washington Post says Osama bin Laden warned 3 weeks ago that he and his followers would carry out an unprecedented attack on the U.S. for its support of Israel. The editor of the London-based Al-Quds Al-Arabi, an Arabic-language newspaper in London, said that Islamic fundamentalists led by bin Laden were almost certainly behind the attacks of the World Trade Center. A report on our website from the Arabic News says the Jordanian weekly Al-Hadath said in a report issued in its most recent issue on Monday that more than one Arab and Western Security Department in Lebanon conveyed to Israel information saying that Hezbollah is intending to carry out a huge operation. Now this report is from, again, this is based on a report that was published on Monday. The paper added that according to Western diplomatic sources, they said that the operation might take place sometime between September 12th and 13th. Now, I want to get into, we're going to open up the phone lines here in just a minute. But before I open up the phone lines, I do want to talk about this one subject because this is something I've been talking about since 1998, and that is the massive penetration of militant Muslims into the United States of America. Here in the Texas area of North Central Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, I have been warning that this area is absolutely infested with deadly, militant, violent Muslims who are using Dallas-Fort Worth as a base of operation. Waheed Al-Haj, who was convicted in the previous bombing of the World Trade Center, lived here in Arlington, Texas. In Richardson, Texas, Hamas has a headquarters in Richardson, Texas, just north of Dallas. off I-35. I've been warning about this for 3 years. It is a front organization for Hamas, a deadly terrorist organization from the Middle East. They go most recently by the name the Holy Land Foundation, but they are based in Richardson, Texas. I've been talking about this for several years. Let me give you some of the most recent information. And we talked about this last week. It's got very little publicity, but we did bring this up on the program last week. We had it on the website. First of all, international investigators say they have evidence of a North African terrorist network loosely federated with Islamic militant Osama bin Laden that poses serious new security problems for the United States. Now, that was a report from July 8, 2001 from Los Angeles. Then the Dallas Morning News. This is February 2000. Federal authorities have spent the last 4 years investigating accusations that a Richardson, Texas foundation provides financial support for the militant Hamas movements. The investigation has included high-level talks about placing Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development on a terrorist list in order to allow federal agents to seize its assets. That was a February 2000 article in Dallas Morning News. Now, September 6, 2001, just days ago, this is the one that we talked about. A federal terrorism task force began searching the office of an internet company on Wednesday in what federal officials say was the largest raid in the North Texas-based operation's six-year history. Agents of the FBI, Customs Service, Immigration, and other federal agencies conducted the early morning raid at Infocom, just south of Arapahoe Road at 630 International Parkway. FBI spokeswoman Lori Bailey said agents were primarily searching for computerized information. Now, that just happened a couple days ago. That's the one we've been reporting. Another Dallas Morning News, September 7th, federal grand jury has subpoenaed business records from two Richardson, Texas-based Palestinian organizations whose websites are hosted by a company raided Wednesday by a terrorism task force. September 8, 2001, a Richardson Internet Services business under investigation by a federal task force was accused Friday of violating U.S. law by shipping computer technology to Libya and Syria. U.S. Department of Commerce said that the Bureau of Export Administration has suspended the export privileges of Infocom Corp. for at least 6 months, pending an investigation. Let me give you a chronology of the Holy Land Foundation. And I'm stressing this because you've got to realize, I don't care what the news media is telling you tonight and tomorrow. And I, as I said today, all I heard was this politically correct stuff. Now, let's not say anything about the Arabs in this country. Let's not. We're not going to allow this racist talk on our radio station. Listen, these bonehead liberal people in the media need to wake up. These Muslims are in this country to bring blood to the streets of America. January 89, it was called the Occupied Land Fund. September 91, they changed their name to Holy Land Foundation. They moved their headquarters to Richardson, Texas. 1996, Israel closed the Holy Land Foundation's branch office in Jerusalem, claiming that it is raising money for Hamas. Also in 1996, Congressman Charles Schumer, who is now a senator, introduced legislation to outlaw domestic fundraising for foreign terrorist organizations. 97, Israeli Defense Minister Mordechai declared the Holy Land Foundation illegal. December 97, Israeli police raided a branch office of the Holy Land Foundation in Jerusalem, arrested its director. Again, I'm trying to tell you, this thing's operating out of Richardson, Texas. Now, what I find to be tremendously ironic is that American Airlines, which lost two of its flights today, and its passengers and its crew, American Airlines was giving money to the Holy Land Foundation through a frequent flyer program. They were allowing the Muslim group, the Holy Land Foundation, to raise money through American Airlines. This is something I reported on several years ago, outraged that this was happening in the United States of America. Give money to a group linked to the Islamic extremist group Hamas and you can earn frequent flyer miles. That was the pitch of the New York-based Holy Land Foundation, a fundraising operation for the Hamas. Listen, I'm going to open up the phone lines now. Our telephone number tonight, 817-579-7557. Now, we only have a limited number of telephone lines. We've never done this before, so if you get a busy sign, you can call back. And I ask you, if you have a question or a comment about what has happened today, feel free to give us a call right now, 817-579-7557, and we'll attempt to get you on the air right now. This Texas-based Palestinian group was removed from the federal government register in September 2000. Believe it or not, they were allowed to get government funding from the U.S. taxpayers. The U.S. Agency for International Development began action to remove the Texas-based Holy Land Foundation from its list of more than 400 charities, making it ineligible for U.S. government funding. You see how crazy, how absolutely crazy things are in this country? That a Hamas organization was qualified to get U.S. government funding? This is kind of stuff we've been reporting for some time. Also, Hillary Clinton received $50,000 that we know about, that was reported. Hillary Clinton received $50,000 from the Muslim groups, these militant groups linked to terrorist organizations for her Senate campaign last year. An American Muslim group whose leader backs the Palestinians' right to use armed force against Israel has raised thousands of dollars for Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's what we reported October 25th, 2000. The American Muslim Alliance sponsored a $500 a ticket fundraiser in Boston and raised $50,000 for Hillary Clinton. I want to go ahead. I want to take our first caller, Robert, calling from Red Bank, New Jersey. Robert, can you hear me? Robert? Robert, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
This is Rick. Jeff, this is Rick, if I'm on.
Okay. Who do I have?
Jeff from Willow Grove.
Okay, I've got Jeff. Jeff? Welcome to the program. What did you want to say tonight?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Tonight I'll be praying over my children, and I'll be praying the same for you and your family. Rick, the 91st Psalm.
Thank you.
That God will protect us not only from the pestilence by night, by day, but the terror by night.
Thank you.
And I also find it ironic that they used American Airlines in their dastardly deeds today since we invited them into this country.
That's right.
I mean, Paul Harvey often talks about the old country. Not some far away distant land, but the America he used to know. And I think we're at that stage now, because you're correct when you say it never will be the same. But I just wanted you to know that we're with you out here in the heartland, my friend. And we'll be praying God's blessings and protection for you as well as the rest of our Americans.
I appreciate that. I think everybody in this country who's standing up against this infiltration of terrorists in our country, I think every one of us is a target. And, you know, I've had, over the last several years, I've had instances where I've been speaking in public meetings, and I've looked out into the audience, and I have seen Muslims taking notes, writing down everything I say. I've watched them get up and walk out into the hallway, make cell phone calls. We had a man one time of Arabic descent who attempted find out when we were moving here to Granbury, he wanted to volunteer to install the telephones in our office and our home. And we
how gracious of you.
Yes. These are things that I never talk about on the program, but these are the risks that we endure all the time because we're telling the truth. And what a lot of patriotic Americans don't realize is that it's not only patriots out there listening to these programs on the radio. Our enemies are listening to the same programs, and they're making notes. And they're keeping score. And listen, brother, thanks a lot. We got another caller, and okay, I thank you for calling in. Thank you, sir. All right, I want to take another caller. I think I'm having trouble knowing who's coming up, but go ahead. We have a caller in the line right now. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay. We lost that one. All right. We'll try to get another one. Just bear with us. This is the first time we've done this. So if you want to call, our telephone number, 817-579-7557. What do you think about these Muslim terrorist groups being allowed to operate inside the United States of America? What's your feeling about it? Now, the liberals tomorrow are going to tell us that we cannot pack up and ship these Muslims back to their sand dunes. I'd like to know why. But the liberal and the news media and the leftists, they're going to be telling us tomorrow that this is racist talk, this is racist thinking, this is bigoted thoughts. I say it's self-preservation. I say it's doing what you've got to do to protect your family. You got to be brain dead not to realize what happened today. I notice how many people listening to radio and television programs, I notice how many people were referring to what happened. They were referring to movies. People were talking about movies. Yeah, it's like something I saw in a movie. Well, folks, America, this isn't a movie. This is reality. We're under attack today. Let's see, we got another caller here. Let's see if we can get this one. I think this was Terry coming out of Georgia. Terry, is that you on the line?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Terry?
Yes, it is.
Terry, you're calling from Georgia?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. What do you want to say tonight?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, when we had the tragedy in Oklahoma City, how, you know, everybody was so up in arms and ready to, you know, to condemn, you know, people overseas and all that, once the facts came out and we realized who really caused that whole incident, I think we need to take a little caution now and make sure that we know who the real perpetrators are.
Well, Terry, who really was the perpetrator at Oklahoma City?
Well, my opinion was is the federal government. You know, they obviously knew something about it. You know, whether they actually planted the bombs or not, you know, may be up for debate, but it certainly was not a truck bomb.
Well, I think we all agree it wasn't a truck bomb, but I think we agree that the real perpetrators were kept hidden. It wasn't McVeigh acting alone. McVeigh was definitely a part of it, but he was a stooge. He was a pawn in the whole thing, and we'll have to see what happens in the days ahead. This had an eerie resemblance. Watching that building go down to those two towers today, actually three towers going down today, just chilling. Realizing what has happened today. Terry, we thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
All right, thank you. Again, if you want to call, we've got about another 7-8 minutes on the program. 817-579-7557. Now, I think we've got Robert back on the line again. He tried to call in a little bit earlier. Robert, are you there? Robert? Okay, we keep losing Robert. We keep dropping Robert's phone call. Again, we're broadcasting live tonight from our studios here in Granbury, Texas. I'm Rick Wiles. This is American Freedom News, a tragedy in the United States of America. It is sadly to say what I've been predicting would happen in the United States of America, a day of jihad. The only thing for me to discern is this the beginning of what I have believed in my heart would happen on a wide-scale basis, or is this just an opening act? What's going to happen? But I've been saying for 3 years that there is a total jihad coming to America. But these Muslims are going to declare jihad against all Americans. Now, when you stop and think about it, there are approximately 14 million Muslims in this country. Now let's assume that of those 14 million Americans or Muslims that are living in this country, let's assume that obviously 50% of them are male. Then that would be 7 million. And let's say that half of those 7 million males are adults. That would be 3.5 million adult male Muslims that have moved into this country. Then let's say that out of that 3.5 million adult male Muslims living in the country, 1 million of them are devoted to violence. The rest of them are just honest, decent people. But let's just imagine that for the past 10 years, Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein and the rest of them have been shipping to this country their most deadly fighters to prepare over 10 years for a day of jihad. What would happen? What would happen if 1 million Muslims in this country began killing Americans at the same time? Do you realize that tens of millions of people could die in an hour in this country? Now, we have another caller. This is Barry calling in from Houston. Barry, welcome to the program. Barry?
Thank you, being a first-time caller. But anyway, there's a lot of similarities between this and December 7th in 1941 with the Japanese. There was a lot of talk in 1941 about deporting the Japanese back to their homeland, but instead of doing that, we had the concentration camps where we rounded them up and put them in different concentration camps around the country. And there's going to be a lot of people that's going to object to the idea of deporting the people, the nationality of the people that perpetrated this crime today or attack. And if they don't like the idea of being deported, maybe we ought to round them up and put them in concentration camps like we did during World War II.
Well, then we'd have some New York lawyers getting reparations for them. And we'd end up paying them billions of dollars.
Yeah, well, there's times you got to put the legalities away and start using common sense. I mean, there's got to be that time where we've got to draw the line. And I think the time should be right now. And in closing with what I would like to say, my heart is definitely extended to all the families and their friends of everybody who suffered losses today. And I hope the American people can take a stand, unite, something we haven't done for many a years, unite as a people. We have a sense of direction now. We have thousands of people that paid the price today unwillingly. Let's don't let their lives go to waste. Let's benefit by it. Just take a negative situation, apply it in the right way, and come out ahead on this thing. Let's get into the right step.
All right, Barry. Barry, thanks so much. Appreciate your comments. Our next caller is Russ calling in from Dallas, Texas. Russ, welcome to the program. Russ? All right, I'm sorry I lost Russ. Just forgive me here. I'm trying to operate this. This is the first time we've done this in our program, and we'll just continue to work at this. We'll see if we can get another caller on the line. I do believe that the conservative, patriotic, God-fearing American men and women in this country have the opportunity in this tragedy, if we act right, if we use wisdom and common sense and good judgment and courage, I believe that we can use this tragedy to take back this country from the left-wing liberals that have driven this country almost totally to destruction with their failed policies for the last 40 to 50 years. We finally are at a place that maybe the American people will listen. This thing's going to go one way or the other very soon. And that's why we need to be in prayer about how we respond to this. Let's see if I got another caller here. I believe Robert from New Jersey is on the line. Robert, can you hear me?
This is Paul in Arizona.
Paul, I'm sorry. Okay, Paul, you got about 2 minutes. What do you want to say tonight?
It won't take long. I want to urge you to get General Ben Parton on.
Yes.
Because I'm extremely suspicious of those buildings dumping like that.
Yes, Ben, this is very odd, sir, that just 2 days ago we had a telephone conversation with General Parton about coming on the program. We had no idea this was going to happen. but we had just talked to him 2 days ago.
We'll see if he thinks that this is possible. It reminds me too much of OKC. You know, dump the buildings, destroy the evidence. Pretty soon they'll scrape it up with bulldozers and it'll be gone.
It was eerie. It was very eerie.
You know, I'm suspicious of the whole stupid thing. I mean, you know, it didn't hit the UN. It didn't hit the Capitol. It didn't hit the White House. But it hit, you know, who's got the gain from this? It's the people who want the financial system destroyed. And I think we all know who that is. And pretty soon, you know, when the riots are in the streets and people aren't getting their money, then we'll have to call in the good old blue suitors.
Well, that's obviously where we're at right now. There's a real danger this could happen. Hey, I'm going to try to get in one more caller
right
before we go.
Thanks much,
God. God bless. Thanks for calling. Do we have any more callers? Or okay, I think we're just about out of time. I'm probably going to be risking it if I try to get anyone else on here because we are live and we will have to go off the air at the exact time because another program will be coming on WWCR live also. But again, this is a day of tragedy, and if we pray, if we act right, if we muster all of our confidence and courage and wisdom and faith and strength, perhaps we can change America, bring this country out of this deception that we've been in. If we don't do it, we could very well find ourselves in martial law. We could find ourselves in a global depression. We could find ourselves in an absolute police state because what has happened today is beyond comprehension. And again, I just pray that everyone be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be calm, be in prayer. Don't do anything irrational. Go to God, pray. Pray for the leaders of the land, pray for wisdom, pray that the truth be revealed. Pray that the truth be revealed. And we're going to have to go one day at a time as this thing unfolds. As I said, this is it's unlike anything I've ever witnessed in my 48 years on this earth. This is a stunning, stunning day. Tomorrow I'm going to play some clips, some sound bites from things that I said several years ago, and we were digging out of our archives today some of my speeches and sermons and messages that I gave in 1998, 1999, talking about Muslims penetrating this country, talking about jihad coming to the streets of America, and we'll play that tomorrow. And we'll talk more about these radical groups being given permission inside the United States of America to operate. Listen, I'm going to go out of the program tonight with the theme song, to this program when we first started. We need God in America again.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty and put it in our schools as a light. Well, since give me liberty or give me death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, we need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, "You can't have national morality apart from religious principle," and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder were the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is for God in America again.
The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again.
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, but pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vexes us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is going to fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. I believe it's time, America, to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand. And send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from. Let the word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all his glory. And every eye shall see him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us. To boldly tell the world, you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers. Because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms. And start handing out the word of God in school. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our way, stand firm and say we need God in America again. I know the only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope.